I know we have separate times where we're going to be teaching on healing. But our Father wants us to understand principles. And those of you, if you've heard me teach more than once, you know I am very big on principles. My wife will tell you, I always have been. They just make sense. And I like things that make sense. I like things that I can depend on. And I can depend on principles. Because principles work. Period. My task is to make sure I'm using the principle the right way because principles work. If I use it the wrong way, I'm going to get the results of using it the wrong way. A principle is not going to say, I'm not going to work because you're not using me the right way. No, the principle is going to work. We need to make sure we give it the proper application. And there is a principle associated with healing. And it does, you know how it is when you get a revelation and you're amazed that everybody else didn't get it? And that's not fair because you didn't get it until you got it. But when you think about it, it's like, how come I didn't see that? But first of all, let's start out with 2 Corinthians because at the beginning of the year, you know, I'm always asking God, okay, Lord, what's your theme? You know, what is it that you want to highlight for the year, at least through me? And he gave me 2 Corinthians 5:17. So why don't you turn there, and we'll read it together, 17 to 19. I'm in a New King James Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you look at all of the things going on in this world, and you look at the things that the church at large has chosen to participate in, you'll begin to understand why God wants us to understand that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Because there are things that are happening that he doesn't expect his church to be a part of. He expects his church to be the solution, but he doesn't expect his church to be participants. And the only reason the church are participants is because they haven't gotten the revelation that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And because I'm a new creature, I operate according to a different set of principles. See, we need to know that if we're going to be successful, I'll say it this way, our success in life depends on our understanding of exactly what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Exactly what it means. Everything associated with who we were before Christ is gone. Everything. The problem is the devil makes sure you have a roadmap. And it lets you know, just like when they're looking for King Tut's tomb and all that, you find out exactly where it is, then you go about doing some excavation. And once it's excavated, then you breathe life back into it. Things have passed away, they're buried, we need to let them stay buried. I understand, folks, that, you know, when things get tough, there's a tendency to go with that which you're comfortable doing. But if I ran a ministry like that, we'd have no members. Because you'd get me upset, I'd punch you in the eye, and you'd leave. Because that's how I handle things. But that's not how God wants me to pastor. That's not how you want me to pastor either. But that part of me is passed away. The Wade translation says, if anyone becomes united with Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. They have been replaced by new condition. Thank you for that amen back there. I like that. That was right on time. Now, just to give you an understanding of what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about principles, I'm not picking on anybody. Say, Pastor Greg's not picking on anybody. Everybody say it. Okay. All right. But here's a principle. If you're going to consume more calories than you burn, you're going to wind up being overweight. You can pray while you're eating. You can read the Bible while you're eating. You can pray holy is the Lord while you're eating. But if you eat more than you burn, your waistline is going to increase. Someone once said they actually got a microphone because they had a word for the congregation. They got a microphone and said, I'm not gaining weight because I confess to the Lord I'm not gaining weight. I wanted to say, I hope you put the fork down because that's not going to do it because it is a principle. You eat more than you burn, you gain weight. You burn more than you eat, you lose weight. Simple. You know, I went to visit a cardiologist for a checkup, and he looked, he said, we're not doing anything to your meds. He said, we want you to see, and it was some preventative medicine cardiologist wanted me to go into the city, pay $48 parking again to sit with someone to tell me that I need to lose weight. Like, I already know that. 20 pounds lighter than I was 2.5 weeks ago. You know. And you know, very interesting thing happened. My knees stopped hurting. Knees stopped hurting. I can run up and down steps. I used to limp up and down steps. My wife would say to me, no, why don't you not carry the bag? You know, put the bags down, come up, and only grab one bag. I got all the bags in my arm, and I'm like, up the steps. Lord, I believe I receive healing in my knees. God said, all right, keep believing, but if you keep eating, nothing's going to change. See, in the book by F.S. Bosworth, Christ the Healer, he lists some things, some reasons as to why you don't receive your healing. One of them is violating natural laws. Who created the natural laws? So you can't violate his laws and expect to get a different situation. They're principles that we have to be mindful of if we're going to receive and maintain the healing Jesus provided for us. And Jesus isn't going to do it for us. He already did everything he's going to do concerning our health and our healing. He's not taking any more stripes. He's not going back to the cross. He's not going back into hell. He already did that. It's up to us to understand the principles and put them into practice. Now, one of the things that I think about is that we, when I say we, I mean the people of God, we've created a situation that a circumstance that I call situational principles. What I mean by that is we believe the principles work under a certain set of circumstances. And we fail to realize that principles work because they're principles. And it doesn't matter the circumstance. And this isn't my opinion. I saw this in the Word. Look in Matthew 13, starting at verse 18. I'm in the Phillips translation. It says, now listen to the parable of the sower. When a man hears the message of the kingdom, The message of the kingdom, guess what the message of the kingdom is also called? Principles of the kingdom. And does not grasp it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is like the seed sown by the roadside. The seed sown on stony patches represents a man who hears the message. He hears the principles. He eagerly accepts them, but it's not taken root in him. And so they don't last long. The moment, listen to what happens. The moment trouble or persecution arises, he gives up his faith at once. It doesn't say the circumstance rises and takes away your faith. It says a circumstance rises, but because you didn't take time to meditate on that principle day and night and understand how it works and how to work it, you gave up your faith. So this doesn't work. This doesn't work. And then you wind up dealing with something that you've been delivered from. Not because the word's not strong, but because we didn't take the time to understand it. It says, the seed sown among thorns represents a man who hears the message, and then the worries of this life and the illusions of wealth choke it to death, so it produces no crop. So you understand the principle, but then a circumstance comes. For example, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. That's a principle. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you can't sow peaches and get tomatoes. If you sow peaches, you'll reap peaches. Those are principles. And we accept them as true until a thief shows up. Because before that, whatever God told you to give, you gave. And you didn't even think about it. You know what you thought? God said, give an extra $100. So you gave. You just... Done. Praise the Lord. Go away happy. You go outside, you start your car, the transmission blows up. First thing you think about, why did I give that extra $100? And then the next service day, God's going to tell you, you don't even want to tithe. Because you're thinking, I need to replace the transmission in my car. We forget, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. We don't remember, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We don't remember, give, and it shall be given again unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We forget those principles, and we start thinking, I got to get this transmission repaired. Why does that happen? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. But another thing that happens is in all my years of being a Christian, I have never had anyone come up to me and ask me if they were still saved. No one has ever come up and said to me, I think God is not ready to save me yet because he's still trying to teach me something. No one has ever come up to me with that kind of doubt. Yes, yeah, some people have come and because they hadn't completely changed their life, you know, they thought they weren't saved, and we just explained to them, you need to renew, just go through the process of renewing your mind, and they understood it. But no one doubted their salvation. They don't wake up today and say, am I going to hell today? I'm not sure. I know what the word says about it, but people don't do that. But they do with healing. And they don't realize that the same thing it took for you to be healed For you to be saved is what it takes for you to be healed.
Amen. That's right.
There's no difference. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, what happens? You're saved. You're saved. How is that different from if you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt into your heart, but believe that those things you say shall come to pass, then you shall have whatsoever you say. How is that different? It's not. It's the same principle. You're believing in your heart, and you're confessing with your mouth. We can do that with salvation, but we don't do that when it comes to healing. And I'll tell you why. It's associated with the first why I said I tell you. See, you don't feel salvation. You don't feel it. You don't see it. You don't see it. You don't get a salvation statement at the end of the month. Tell you how much salvation you have stored up and how much interest it's earned. But you get a bank statement. And you look and you go, oh, I have it upside down. Oh, no, I didn't have it upside down. And you look at that statement and you start wondering, how am I going to get through? You forget the principle, my God shall supply all my need. That's a principle. It's a kingdom principle. We forget that because we see negative $652.33. And then we're looking at things that have not cleared. And you come to service and they say, okay, now it's time for the ministry of giving. I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, that's because we're looking at the bank statement. Now, when we were in Tulsa, I spent most of the time in Tulsa with a temperature of 102.9. I had headaches. I had sinus headaches. Every time I coughed, it felt like someone was cutting pieces of my lungs out. I mean, that's the way I was feeling. I didn't feel like with the stripes of Jesus Christ I was healed. I feel like someone was giving me stripes. My wife tells me I couldn't see it, but my wife tells me that on the plane going back I looked like an apple. Because I was so red. But guess what didn't change? My confession. With the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed.
Yes.
Cough, 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 cough. Thank you, Lord, that my lungs are clear. Okay. Because it's a principle. Yes, there's some natural things that I had to do. Yes, my immune system needed a boost. I didn't care. All I cared about was I'm healed. Period. Let me read this to you. Let me find it because, as you know, I'm not in the order of the notes. And that's okay. But in James 2, because I like you to know that I'm not giving you my opinions. I want it in the Living Bible. Okay, here we go. James 2, verse 19 to 21 in the Living Bible says, are there still some among you who hold, that means who believe, that only believing is enough? Believing in one God? Well, remember that the demons do that too, so strongly that they tremble in terror. Then this is what the word says. I'm not calling anybody this. It says, fool, when will you ever learn? Listen to this. When will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to do? See, I did, because when we came back on Saturday, Sunday morning, I was in the pulpit in Nanuet. I didn't feel like I was strong in the Lord and the power of his might, but I had an assignment. And my agreement with God was that he keeps me while I fulfill my assignments. And as I was ministering, I knew when God thought my assignment was over because my body started feeling like it was over and I started looking like it was over. And so we made sure it was over. Okay. Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. So we need to understand that. We can't say we have faith and not do the things God told us to do. And that caused me to understand something. The purpose of faith is not so that we can have stuff or things. The purpose of faith is so we can do the things God called us to do. Period. Do you actually think God's going to give us the faith to be disobedient? No, he gives us faith. He makes faith available for us to grab hold of so we can accomplish what he wants us to do. We need to understand that when we're talking about our healing. Because if your purpose of getting healed is because you want to go to a party, it could be a Christian party, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as God told you that's where I want you to go. But if God is saying, I know there's a party on that night, but there's also, you know, Bible study, and I need you in Bible study, and you don't want to go to Bible study, you're going to be believing God, I believe I received my healing because I'm going to go to that party. Tell you, yeah, I'm going. I got my faith out there. Well, according to the Bible, that's not real faith because you're not using it to do what God wants you to do. It also lets us know, because it says faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. So it's telling us the only good deeds are acts of obedience to God. That's what he calls good deeds. So you know, when you look at that homeless person, and you get the sense you're supposed to give them money, you have to put down that thought they're going to take it and buy drugs. Do you do everything you're supposed to do with the money God gives you? Does God cut it off? God doesn't say no, because I told them to save and they're going to go out and buy a big screen TV. So I'm not giving them anything. No, he gives it to you. And it's on you. What you do with it. God's responsibility is to give it. If God tells you to give to someone, then you do what God says. See, we believe principles, and we won't question them. But I said, but once the thief comes, because we see and we feel circumstances, we start questioning. And the moment we get over into questioning, we're giving up our faith. We're giving it up. Remember, we got saved because the word says, by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. It says if you confess with your mouth, as I shared earlier, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But you had to hear that to believe it. That means you had to believe another principle. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. So someone, God had to send someone to tell you about Christ. You believed it. Faith came. You made the confession. You got saved. If that person didn't believe the principle, they wouldn't have told it to you. Faith wouldn't have come, and you wouldn't have been saved. So we're where we are, and we're who we are in Christ because somebody believed the principles and shared them with us. And we believed it. And now that same person can come to you and said, the word says, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Why not? Well, because the doctor said, I have this condition. And let's think about this for a moment. No, it's not that he's lying. When doctors do tests, they see conditions. But think about it. Why would God have to have Jesus take stripes for our healing if sickness was never going to attack our bodies? Why would there have to be a provision for healing if no one was ever going to get sick? So we need to understand the principles. How can you get healed if you never had anything to be healed of or healed from? Well, I don't know what the right term is in English. Whichever one is right, hear that one. But the point is, it's just like we've been made overcomers. But we get upset when there's a circumstance that we have to come over. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. How do you get a victory unless you're in a fight? But we get upset because we're in a fight. We forget the principle. The principle is someone's going to pick a fight with me, but God's going to cause me to be victorious. Done. But if we don't understand the principle, the minute we get into a fight, we're going to give up our faith and never experience a victory. Pastor Clinton got a song, I Won't Be Defeated Because I Will Not Quit. I mean, that's... and God never said that the win would be instant. Again, think about what he has said. Add to your faith patience. Why would I need patience if everything was supposed to come instantly? See, that's what I mean when we have to think about these principles and understand them. Wait for it. The vision is yet for an appointed time. But in the end, it will speak and not lie. We forget the part that says, though it tarries, though it feels like it's never going to happen, wait for it because it will surely come and will not tarry. That's what the word says. But we said, Lord, I've been dealing with this thing now for 6 years, 37 days, 15 hours, and 22 minutes. I can't take it anymore. Well, now you can't. Because you said that in faith, and you're going to have what you say. Why? Because it's a principle. Let me tell you something about words. And you need to really understand this about words. Words don't have the ability to discern. They don't know when you're kidding and when you're not. All a word knows is that you released it into the atmosphere. Now it has a job to do. That's all it knows. That's why when you start somebody gets on your nerves and say, you make me sick. You release those words. And sickness is going to come on you, not them. You blaming them. You release the words. I can't take this anymore. Yep. That's about right. That's about right. You're stupid. You're never going to amount to anything. You say that to someone you say you love. And they believe you. And then you say, see, I knew it. I knew it. I knew they'd never amount to anything. Yeah, because years back you cursed them and you kept reinforcing it every time you got aggravated. Why? Because you release words in faith. And the word doesn't know you were just speaking out of frustration and didn't really mean it. All the word knows is you put it out into the atmosphere and now it has to do something. And it will do what you put it out there to do, whether you like it or not. So everyone who's born again had to operate in the principle of believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. Everyone. Why won't we believe it the same way when it comes to healing? It's the same principle. In John 11, I find this amazing. This is becoming one of my new favorite biblical accounts. It's the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And it hasn't become my favorite because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It's just all of the stuff that was going on there that you look at and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. You know? Starting in verse 11, it's a long chapter. It says, these things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Now he wasn't talking about sleeping. He was letting him know Lazarus died. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. But Jesus was speaking about his death. And because they weren't getting it, verse 14 said, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So, okay, do you understand that? Okay, Lazarus is dead. It makes me think about our grandchildren. When the older was trying to explain to the younger, you know, when their Gigi went to home to be with the Lord, and he wasn't getting it, and she said, look, and she walked, and she just collapsed on the floor. He got it. She had to do it plainly. Jesus said to him plainly, look, guys, Lazarus is dead. Okay? He's blue, he's not breathing. But then he says something interesting. He says, and I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. One translation says you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Then Thomas, great man of faith, said, let's go also so that we may die with him. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he being Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. So when Jesus showed up, Lazarus was already dead and buried for 4 days. He didn't say, oh, well, I guess I should have come sooner. And of course, you know how people congregate when there's a death. And they went into Martha and Mary's. Lazarus was their brother. In verse 20, it says, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus didn't say, oh, so now you're putting this on me. So now it's my fault. Okay, that he's dead. But then listen to what she says next. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. So she said, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. But because you're here, I know whatever you ask God, God will give to you. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Now, think about this. Your brother has been dead 4 days. And you knew if Jesus was there, he wouldn't have died. But now Jesus shows up 4 days later. And you say, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. But now because you're here, I know that whatever you ask, God will do. And Jesus says, your brother will rise. You speak to him. Yes, Father. Everybody, Lazarus is going to rise soon. Jesus just said so. Amen. No. No. What did she say? She said those two words that most people say when I'm talking to them about something. I know. I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Oh, so you don't believe that whatever I ask now will happen. Now it went from today to the last day. But Jesus wasn't deterred. He had an answer for that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Time for another Holy Ghost dance. That's what should have happened because she believed. Said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked, do you believe this? Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is coming to the world. Said, yeah, I believe you can save. That's what he was saying. I believe you can save. I'm not so sure about the healing part. I believe that you can say that you're the Christ, the Son of God, which came to the world. Not so sure you can raise my brother from the dead. See, we miss that when we just read over that. That's why you got to take the time and read and understand what's going on. What is she saying? She said, do you believe this? Yes. I believe you're the Christ. Oh, so you don't believe I'm the resurrection. You believe I'm the Christ. You believe I'm the Savior, but you don't believe I'm the resurrector. You don't believe I'm the healer. You just believe I'm the Christ. I'm much more than that. She saw Christ as Savior. She didn't see him as healer. She didn't understand. And the reason she didn't understand because she saw her brother in the grave. And she was focusing on the circumstance. She was focusing on the results of the thief coming. And she forgot who came. Okay. She forgot that, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus was there so that the Lazarus would have life and have life more abundantly. She remembered that part. My brother's dead. Now, you know, Jesus has a similar encounter with his sister, but now he wants to go to the tomb. And he said, you know, take me to where you laid him. And then he said to them, take away the stone. And Martha was like, no, don't take away the stone. Because now, after 4 days, there's a stench. See, so that's something. She saw her brother, and she smelled death. And her regard for the principles went flying out the window. Because she was relying on her five senses and not the spirit within her. And we make the same mistakes. We'll rely on what we feel, on what we see, or we'll rely on what we've read online or what we've heard in a consult with our physician. And it's not about, folks, it's not about saying, oh, I don't receive that report. Hey, when they called me and they told me that they found cancer in my prostate gland, I believed them. They weren't calling me to lie. It wasn't an April Fool's joke. I could have said, I'm not receiving that report, and someone else would be standing in front of you today. I believe that cancer had attacked my body. So now I was like, okay, Father, what do I need to do to experience the victory you promised? I mean, sir, you have multiple blood clots in both of your lungs. No, I don't. I rebuke that report in Jesus' name. We better rebuke death while you're in the process, because if you don't do something, death is going to occur. That's not spirituality, that's stupidity. Who allowed medical science to be developed? Do you really believe that the devil is the one that allowed medical science to develop? Do you believe that the devil allowed folks to discover things that help believers? Why would God, so many people have come to me and said, God told me to go to the doctor. I'm like, okay. And the doctor, you know what the doctor did? No, what did he do? He had the nerve to tell me I had such and such and such and such. Did he take your blood work? Yes. And the blood work shows these things need to be corrected. Well, Pastor, I'm not receiving it. You're a fool. You're a fool. Believe the report, make the necessary corrections, and it will change the report. You find out what, the first time they found an embolism, I said to God, all right, God, what do we want me to do about what they said? He said, every waking moment you say, according to Deuteronomy 61, all sickness and disease is a curse of the law. But Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. So pulmonary embolisms are a curse of the law. Jesus Christ redeemed me of pulmonary embolisms, therefore my lungs are clear. He said, say that every waking moment. And every waking moment, that's what I said. To the point where the nurse woke me up. That always amazed me about hospitals. They say, get some rest. You get rest and they wake you up at 4 a.m. How you feeling? I was feeling fine. So you woke me up. I said, no, but you were talking about cursings. And then I had to explain to them what God told me. So the pulmonologist comes now. He comes in at 7 a.m. Okay. So first I go up at 4:30 because I'm talking in my sleep. And I said, you were talking in your sleep. I said, the key phrase was sleep. But then the pulmonologist comes in and he's talking with me and he says, Reverend, you don't look like you're in distress. I said, I'm not. And he examined me, he said, do you mind waiting for a moment? I want to go look at the film. Okay, but I'm awake. According to Deuteronomy, he comes back in and he looks at me and he says, Reverend, I apologize. I said, what are you apologizing for? I don't know why you're here. I said, what do you mean? He said, I looked at the film. Your lungs are clear. Okay. All right, now, there was something there. That the radiologist, his supervisor, the ER attending, and the nurse all saw it there. I could have opted to say, I don't receive that report, and said to my wife, come on, honey, let's go home. And in a few days, I may have really gone home. Unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. Because Jesus did not say, you will never encounter any issues in this life. As a matter of fact, he said the exact opposite. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have. He said, but don't be dismayed. I've overcome the world. I like the Amplified Version. It says, I've taken away its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So I go with those, with that principle when tribulation shows up. Because tribulation is going to show up. So they said to Jesus, don't open the tomb because he's going to stink up the place because he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, see, he gave them another Holy Ghost dance moment. He said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Yes. And the people just said, the glory of God. We're about to see the glory of God. Everybody should have broke out. Praise you, Lord. We want to see your glory, Lord. Move the stone now. Move it away. They didn't believe it. But Jesus did it anyway. And there's even a lesson in that. Just because you don't believe it, that doesn't negate Jesus from doing what he said he would do. If you don't believe it, you just won't experience it. But he's still done it. Because it's a principle. He's not a man that he should lie. That means he can only tell the truth. So if he said it, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in spite of anything else that might happen. See, there's no difference, as I said earlier, there's no difference between if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. There's no difference. They mean the same thing. They do the same thing. If you believe it. If you believe it. See, the principles don't change. Your execution of the principles changes. And that's where you get into trouble. That's where you get into trouble. If God said do it, do it. He said a new commandment I give you. Love one another. I can't love that person. You're a liar. I know that's a strong word. But you're saying that Jesus is asking you to do something that you can't do. That's not true. What it is Jesus is asking you to do something that you don't want to do. And so you default to your feelings, to your emotions, to your memory, to what you see. And not operate based on what he said. Faith without works is as dead as Julius Caesar. I mean, that's... And if we don't operate in faith, then our faith is going to die. And we'll never get anything else done because it says the just shall live by faith. So if you refuse to live by faith, guess what you're not? The just. I mean, that's... If you're the just... You live by faith. It's a principle. It don't change. So if you decide you're not going to live by faith, you've just decided you no longer want to be associated with the just. So that means you, what are you, the unjust? We have to learn to disregard feelings and emotions that are contrary to God's word. I don't care what they represent. If they even slightly suggest something different than God's word, you have to reject it. That's why the Bible tells you to take the thought to capture all thoughts and make them obey Christ. You. You can't say, I had these thoughts and I couldn't do anything about them. No, you have those thoughts and you wouldn't do anything about them. Because if Jesus tells, if God tells us we capture that thought, that means that that thought cannot overpower us. But it means we can corral it. We can hold that thought captive and like, no, you are not going to think that. Period. It takes work. It takes understanding. So when I say disregard feelings, I'm not just talking about feelings of sicknesses, but I'm also talking about preferences. You know, I can't say, well, this is the way I want it done. This is the way I like it. God knows my heart. Yeah, that's the problem. He knows your heart. He knows you really don't want to do it. You're better off saying, God, I need your help because I really don't want to do this. That's being honest. And God can help you with that. But if you refuse to acknowledge it and violate his principles, I'm going to show you this, and then God is telling me that he's about done keeping me while I do his work. But in Romans 8, because anytime God gives me a revelation like this, I ask him to give me some reference. And I think there has to be a scriptural reference somewhere that says what you're telling me to say to the people. Well, in Romans 8:2, it says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But there's a translation called the Blackwelder translation. For the principle of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has liberated you from the principles of sin and death. That's why principles are so important. Life in Christ Jesus is a principle. And a principle is defined as a force of action or a force that causes action. And we need to understand the spiritual forces that cause us to act. And we need to yield to them and let them do what they were sent here to do. We'll live healthy lives. I think it's tragic that we get defeated because we're not using a weapon that we're very familiar with. Everybody is rock solid sure of their salvation. Why can't you be rock solid sure about your health and your healing and your finances? It's the same principle. It's exactly the same. I'm going to close with this. Because I was going to, there are a number of scriptures I wanted to share with you. I'm not going to do that. God told me to close with this. As far as words are concerned, there's no joking, no kidding around. If you release them in faith, you'll have what you say. So remember, you don't have to wait for a special healing anointing to be present in order to receive your healing. Your faith coming forth from your mouth will cause your healing to manifest. Your faith. Not my faith. I mean, my faith will, because if I lay hands on you, you will recover because I'm a believer. And that's a principle that follows believers. But your faith coming out of your mouth will get you healed. Period.